Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we listen to these many different Advent prophecies, it's important for us to know that generally Old Testament prophecies have at least two fulfillments, sometimes even more. Take these words from 2 Samuel 7 as an example. What really is the prophet Nathan talking about? Well, in the immediate scene, he's talking about Solomon, the son who was to be born of David and Bathsheba. Solomon would become king of Israel. He would build a glorious temple there in Jerusalem. And really, during his reign, Israel would be a renowned world power. In fact, that temple that he builds in Jerusalem is what is talked about here when it says, "He shall build a house for my name." And the royal bloodline then continued in Jerusalem as long as this kingdom lasted. But that kingdom didn't last forever. In fact, after Solomon's death, it started shrinking right away. It got smaller and smaller and smaller until it was finally destroyed by Babylon. And in the final step of that destruction, the temple was erased to a pile of rubble. So what did Nathan really mean when he said in the final phrase, "I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever"? This is an indicator, you see, that Solomon is not the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy, but rather the penultimate. I'm sure the words of Luke chapter 2 from the Christmas story are familiar to you. In verse 4, we are told, "Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." What was Nathan talking about when he said, "This house will be built for my name"? He was talking about Jesus and his kingdom. And wow, how much more different could Solomon's kingdom and Jesus' kingdom be than what they are? However, as we talk about the differences, it's also important to note there are parallels as well. Solomon's temple, the one that he built, was one of the most beautiful structures in the world at its time. Jesus, you know, the temple we're talking about is not the one Herod remodeled, but rather Jesus said, "Destroy this temple of mine." His temple was his own body. And how was the body of Jesus described in the Bible? Well, nothing particular to look at or noteworthy. Both of these earthly temples, the one of Solomon and one of Jesus, they both were destroyed. Solomon's was rebuilt about 80 years later. And when the people saw the rebuilt one, they cried. Why did they cry? Well, because it was nothing compared to the majesty of the first one. Jesus' temple, after it was destroyed, well, he raised it back up in just 3 days. And his resurrected body is far more glorious than that first temple that was born in Bethlehem. Solomon, the Bible tells us, had many wives. And, well, ultimately they led to his downfall, didn't they? Jesus, while he walked on this earth, did not have a wife. Although, it's probably more accurate to say he has one, because the Holy Christian Church is known as the Bride of Christ. And this one wife of Christ is made up of myriads of people who, rather than being the downfall of the kingdom, are the very tool that he uses to expand and grow his kingdom. Both Solomon and Jesus were earthly descendants of David. However, the reason we celebrate Jesus' birth and not Solomon's is because Jesus' kingdom still continues today. An earthly kingdom in which he rules in the hearts and minds of people. Which is something to think about, because perhaps Solomon's fulfillment of this wasn't the penultimate fulfillment, but the antepenultimate. Whereas Christmas then is the penultimate fulfillment of this prophecy. And our Lord's second coming in glory, that's the ultimate fulfillment. Which means that we have something very special to look forward to. Because as God has promised us here, the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. The Spirit's word, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Brothers and sisters, there's both good news and bad news in the fact that Christmas is just the penultimate kingdom of God. The good news is that the best is yet to come. And that best is going to be better than we could ever even hope to imagine. The bad news, of course, is that it's not here yet. Which means that we are still living in times, well, very similar to the times following the death of David and Solomon, when that kingdom became very difficult to see or recognize. So today there are very few tangible signs of the kingdom of God. Oh yes, there are occasional signs of glory, but the general feeling is that we are in exile, that God's kingdom is somewhat powerless or defeated, perhaps the devil even having his own way. We see school shootings, hedonistic society, and all kinds of other things. The list goes on and on. What we see around us can be pretty scary sometimes, threatening, perhaps at least disturbing. What is a person to do? What is a person to think? Well, we have two ultimate words for us from the Holy Spirit this day. The first, the Spirit gives us through the pen of St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we are told, "We know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked, for while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight." Pen ultimately, Jesus was born in the house and lineage of David, in spite of what the human eye could see, the kingdom of God had continued for those 1,000 years from Solomon's death until the birth of Jesus. And with that assurance, we can also recognize that ultimately Jesus will return, and that between now and then, his kingdom continues. God reigns today, even if we cannot sense it. This brings us to the Holy Spirit's words to the prophet Isaiah that I just read. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, her iniquity is pardoned, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Since, as 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, that we walk by faith, not by sight, we know that these words are true. Thus, our Lord's ultimate word spoken to all of us today, that word is spoken very softly and tenderly. Softly and tenderly, he says to you and to me, "Be comforted, O people of God. Be of good cheer and great confidence. Your warfare is ended." What did we just sing? "Bruise for me the serpent's head, that set free from doubt and dread, I may cling to you in faith, safely kept through life and death." Christ has crushed the serpent's head. Your sins are all pardoned. We are set free in our baptism from doubt and dread as we continue to live in faith. Christ Jesus keeps us safe through life and through death. His victory is our comfort. And no matter how bleak things might look as we look around, we live in good courage. For we live in God's grace by faith. And we live in his kingdom forever. In Jesus' name, amen.